super happy to be here. So you want to introduce yourself and I'll go after you.
Well, I feel like Carrie did an amazing job of introducing ourselves, so I don't really have too much more to add other than that I sound really together, but I also am like Carrie. I don't give my kids dog treats, but I also forget to do their laundry sometimes and, am running in lots of different directions just like you guys. So maybe a little further along, but I'm still in the midst of the mom challenges. So
Agreed. All right. Yeah. Well, we're excited to be here today. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's get
we're going to talk about, so the idea that today, when we were kind of broached with the opportunity to come talk to you guys, we didn't really know what direction we wanted to go, but we decided to talk about the balance plate and what does that look like, what ingredients are in a balance plate, why should we care about what we eat. We're going to touch on the health crisis in our country with diabetes in children and other metabolic disorders, look at what scripture says about the body and our role as women in the home, and then the keys to building a balance plate, give you some tips, and then share some of our favorite recipes and Instagram accounts as well. So that's kind of where we're headed. The launching point where I and Peyton found some inspiration was an interview with Callie and Casey Means. They're a brother and sister duo. They've been published authors, wrote a book about, it's called The Surprising Connection Between Metabolism and Good Health. I'm gonna make sure I get their names right because they both sound like male names to me.
Yes.
But Callie is the brother. He's a former food and pharmaceutical consultant and safe food advocate. And Casey is the sister. She's a Stanford-trained doctor. I think she was a head and neck surgeon and has left that to kind of pursue metabolic health in women. Yep. So I would love to kick off with SOT 1, if you would, Miles, for us.
Number one thing that people need to understand is we need to stop eating ultra-processed food. We need to stop eating.
So what is ultra-processed? Can you just give like examples?
Absolutely. So ultra-processed food is basically all the things that you're seeing at the grocery store that have this laundry list of ingredients that usually are based on three ingredients: ultra-processed flour, ultra-processed added sugars, and ultra-processed seed oil. So this is going to be like white flour, you know, cane sugar, and things like cottonseed oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, soybean oil. So these crappy foods that did not exist 150 years ago, ultra fine white flour, added sugars and seed oils.
That's like all brand name
foods. Like everything. I mean, we have a list in the book of what you should not eat, and it's basically everything at the grocery store. I mean, we should all be shopping at there are 9,000 farmers markets in the United States right now. People can make the effort and reprioritize their values to focus on getting nutritious food. We need to be eating organic, unprocessed foods for the vast majority of our calories. And we need to get back to having a sense of pride and responsibility in our households to cook food. You know, one of the unintentional downsides of the feminist movement is that we somehow made people feel that food preparation was like a less than activity. I bought into this for my entire professional life, that it was somehow beneath me. I was like a slave in the kitchen if I was cooking for husband or family. There is no more important thing we can be doing than feeding our children and our families healthy food. Less than 30% of American families are eating together more than once per week. We need to be sitting down at the dinner table eating real, unprocessed food cooked with love at home.
Yes. I love every single thing about that. Even though I think both of us were already doing a lot of things to provide meals for our family, I was just really struck by not necessarily what not to eat, because there was a lot that she said, but just the image of being empowered as women, that it's not a less than to be serving our families at home and being in the kitchen and really putting that at the forefront as a top priority to be serving our families in that way and providing them that nutrition and our kids a healthy step into adulthood by teaching them, you know, what is good for their bodies.
Absolutely. And just there are a ton of studies done around when children eat food and meals at home, they make better grades, they make better decisions, their outcomes post high school are better. And so we own a gym, so our hours are not 9 to 5. So even if Lane's not home to eat dinner, I still make it a point to eat with my boys. And I've done that since they were really, really little. And so there's so much more than just the health and wellness. It's just the overall family unit is impacted by our at-home meals.
Absolutely. Let's go into SOT 2, Miles, if you would.
To get very specific now, organic fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, legumes, meat, poultry, eggs, game meats, grass-fed, organic, pasture-raised.
What about cheese?
Cheese, dairy, but grass-fed, high-quality organic. The molecular information in these factory cow, you know, these factory farmed cows that are jammed with antibiotics and hormones, that milk is not what you want to be drinking.
The problem isn't the milk, it's the quality.
It's the quality of the milk. You know, organic food has more nutrients than non-organic food.
So not to scare you, but a lot of the things that we're, that are kind of served to us as healthy or marketed to us as healthy, not just milk, or but just some of the packaged things in the stores that maybe are convenient, just aren't the best things for us. So as much as we can look to get organic or at least fresh foods into our bodies, into our homes, I think that's kind of where we're aiming to direct you guys. And we'll go into more depth on that, but that's kind of the crux of that.
Yeah, and just the marketing side of like, oh, there's this goldfish. It's like 9 grams of whole grains. I'm like, yeah, and also it's orange. And, you know, there are all the things in the background. So really becoming an advocate and your own expert for what you're feeding your family.
Absolutely. All right, and I'll bore you with one more. It's about 30 seconds. And this, she, Casey, talks about what kind of food makes her feel good. So let's go with SOT 4.
To answer your question, what makes me feel good? It's the freshest, most beautiful foods that I have complete and utter awe for, because those molecules and atoms are going to go into my body. They're going to heal my, they're going to heal anything that's going wrong. They're going to change my gene expression. They're going to fortify my immune system. They're going to make, they're going to feed my microbiome, which makes 95% of my serotonin, which lets me think and have creative ideas and love my partner and all these things. It's going to be my partner and my bodies and my future children's bodies, right? And so I am in awe and reverence of food. And I think that, and I bless it because it's going to become me. And I think we need to get back to that appreciation.
I just love that, again, that imagery of the food is going to become you. And until I heard that, I didn't really think about that. I mean, I just kind of eat mindlessly, but what I'm choosing to put in my body, what I'm choosing to give my kids is going to become a part of them. And if I'm not giving them the best that I can give them or myself, the best that I can give myself. Yes, I'm just not going to be able to perform like I want to on the pickleball court or be the best mom or have any kind of energy from a husband whatsoever, ever.
It's mostly pickleball.
Yes, it's mostly pickleball.
Mostly pickleball. Okay. Pickleball, your dogs.
The dogs are a close second.
Okay. Safe space.
It is safe. It's safe.
all right. So this is from Time Magazine, a photographer in the rising obesity crisis. Photographed kids from around the world with what they ate in a week. And we're going to run through some of these. And I just, before we get in there, I don't want you to be like, oh my gosh, goldfish and Chick-fil-A. This is just an imagery to help you see how kids eat around the world compared to the U.S., how we're feeding our kids such different things than globally. And I've been over in Europe, and those kids are, I mean, they're running around, they're eating fresh fruits and vegetables. And so as we look through these, I just kind of want you to imagine, like, if you were to lay your kid down and photograph them all the food, what that might look like, what you might want to change. And just, there's this widespread obesity epidemic. And even though we know about it, there's not really been much change. And so to give you an idea, 40 years ago, 1 in 40 children were obese. 1 in 40. Now, 10 in 40 are. So high fructose corn syrup, trans fats, all these processed things have been a part of our world. And so the life expectancy in America is starting to decline because of some of these things. So just, we'll go through some of these. Yep. You can think about what your kids might eat. We have Long Beach, California, and LA. So I don't know if you can see these really well, but there's some pizza, there's some pancakes, there's some burritos, which, you know, who doesn't like a piece of pizza? So this is United States. We'll go to the next one. And this is Italy. I don't know if you can see that, but there's like beans, and it looks like a some sort of burger. Of course, he's got some Italian pizza too, I would venture to say, made with much fresher ingredients by grandmama back, you know, out back. We'll go to the next one. Nice, France. I actually don't see anything like
processed
or bought out. Like, I don't see a bag. I don't see a to-go box.
Yeah.
Lots of fresh. There looks like there's fish at the bottom, bananas, some bread. Eggs. Actually, the French culture don't eat on the go and in their car. It's like taboo to do that. It's very interesting. West Hollywood, California. So much more out to eat, processed things, refined carbohydrates. What's that?
Little Caesars box.
Little Caesars box.
Pizza.
Different than the pizza probably in Sicily. So there's definitely a health crisis in the United States. And I just want you to think, I just want you to see that, to see how it's different worldwide. Like I said, this is not to make you feel guilty or change everything all at once. This is just to give you information so you can make better choices. So the rise of type 2 diabetes is on the rise. And so to give you some context, in the 1950s, type 2 diabetes was really rare among children. About a 1 in 100,000 were diagnosed. Now, most of the diabetes at that time was type 1 diabetes, which is early onset in childhood where the body doesn't produce enough insulin, and so they have to be medicated, as opposed to type 2 diabetes, which is more of a lifestyle factor, sedentary foods. Mm-hmm. So we fast forward to 2020, 210,000 youth under the age of 20 had been diagnosed with diabetes, with the majority of that being type 2. It's been estimated that children born in 2000, 1 in 3 of them will develop diabetes in their lifetime if the trends continue. And you can just see how debilitating that would be for children, right? I don't know if you have family members that have diabetes, but it's like, that's a hard thing to manage. Other things come along with that metabolic condition. In 2019, we found that the incidence of type 2 diabetes among youth increases 4% every single year. And so, you know, what was relatively low in the 1950s is just on the rise and getting worse. So it's increased obesity, poor dietary habits, sedentary children, video games. I mean, like, there's some things you can't control. Like, I asked my kids, two boys, I'm like, how long is your recess? 20 minutes. Like, you got to sit all day? Mm-hmm. Oh, what happens if you get in trouble? They take recess, which gets me fired up. Tangent. Right. Anyway, but obesity is on the rise among kids 2 to 19 is about 20%. And so life expectancy, if it continues on this trajectory, is going to just continue to go down. Mm-hmm. And there's some predictors that say children born to us in these decades may not outlive us, which is terrible. So it's time that we take action as moms. Like I said, you can't control everything, but you can control what's going on inside the house.
And we just hope, as we continue on with this talk, that we can persuade you and inspire you to just decide that it's non-negotiable for you and your family to make it, you know, a priority.
Absolutely.
To have your health be at the forefront. So let's take, we're going to do one more shot. Ooh, this one is my favorite one of all. all right, let's just go into it, and then we'll talk about scripture. It's shot 3.
Hey. Every Sunday after I go to the farmer's market, I lay out all the food, you know, the venison that came from, you know, someone who owns a beautiful ranch outside of LA, the beautiful heirloom tomatoes that are colorful with purples, the watermelon radishes. And I lay it all out on my counter and I literally pray with it. Like, this is awe-inspiring to me. This is all the atoms and the molecules that over the next week or two are going to make up my cells. They are going to become me. I am going to take on the characteristics of this food. And I know, I look at that food, and if I stop and let myself trust my intuition, I know this food is healthy for me. I just know it.
Right?
So excited. She's
passionate. But this for me, I mean, I know we pray, some people pray before they eat their meals. Maybe you don't. But I've never occurred to me to pray for the food when it enters my home. And to lay it all out, if I laid out what I would have bought maybe before listening to this, it would have been a lot different than being convicted to really be purposeful in what I'm selecting, shopping the outside, the perimeter of the grocery store, or making the effort to go to the farmer's market. There are, I think she said, 19,000 farmer market, or something like 12 to 19,000, thousands,
they're
tens of thousands
everywhere.
In the United States. We've got one here in Peachtree City. If we're buying local, buying the freshest things, buying imported cheeses, it's a little bit more expensive, but I promise you it's not as expensive as the $7 bag of Doritos that is going to leave you hungry after you eat it. So, all right.
So what does the scripture have to say? I'll read the first one.
Perfect.
So 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So what we're putting in, what we're... asking our bodies to do, to take care of children, to have energy, to from the early mornings when your days start to the evenings when you're finally going down to bed.
Absolutely. Yep. This one's similar. It says, it's 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple." So it's our jobs to take care of our bodies. We've been given these wonderful gifts, these awesome machines that work for us, but we have to treat them appropriately. So.
Absolutely. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than the unbeliever," which, you know, this one is convicting, mm-hmm. you know, and I think Shuggie has said, if you had one kid, you might have been surprised, right? Okay, we'll give you that free pass. Right. But if you had a second one, you knew what was going on, right? And right. so, like, we're responsible for take care of our own household. And I know, I'm a working mom, that that involves early mornings mm-hmm. and lots of dishes and all the things. Yep. But it is part of what we've been called to do.
Absolutely. Let's see. We are, oh, did I fast forward through one?
You did.
Ephesians 2:10. I don't know how to go back, so I'll just read it to you. It says,
perfect.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So as women, as wives, as mothers, we are made by God for these jobs. We're equipped with the skills we need.
Yes, because my husband doesn't know how to load a dishwasher, and that is, the Lord gave me that.
That's good.
Did not give it to him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mine either. Mine either.
This is true. I'll get an amen for Proverbs 31:15. She gets up while it's still night, amen, so early, the clock goes off. You're yes. like, I just laid right down, now I'm going to get back up. And she provides food for her family. I mean, if you don't think the Bible's true, now you know it is true.
Yeah, I can fall into that phase of resentment or whatever you want to call it. If I'm still working and everybody else is sitting down and relaxing, and but... I have to think about this and just keep on pushing forward and know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and then eventually I get to sit down.
Eventually. Yeah. And then the last one in Proverbs, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is what you're doing right now. You're taking ownership of what you're doing mm-hmm. for being a better mom. So while some of these might be convicting, I hope some of these are encouraging. Like, I am doing these things. Yes. I'm not idle because I'm here.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So you want to tee us up a balance plate?
Yes.
We're going to build a balance plate. Oh, this is my turn, actually.
It is.
So how are we going to build a balance plate that's full of things, maybe from the farmer's market or the best that you can source mm-hmm. from wherever you get groceries? We have three basic macronutrients. I'm thankful for social media because now everybody knows what that is.
Yes.
I used to have to really explain this. But proteins, carbohydrates, and healthy fats. So protein is the building blocks of our muscles. It's crucial for hair and skin, for muscle regrowth. If you're working out, if you're active, you need more protein than someone who is sedentary. It supports healthy skin, nails, hair, anti-aging. I mean, come on, get your protein, ladies. And also helps keep you full, right? So the bag of Doritos versus like 4 to 6 ounces of chicken. Mm-hmm. I'm going to eat the Doritos while I decide if I want the chicken.
That's right. So true.
So protein is crucial. And we look at two types of sources. We have animal-based, which is like your chicken, turkey, fish, dairy. And then plant-based, which would be like legumes, tofu, quinoa, nuts, and seeds. So the average woman needs, if you're active, if you want to write this down, about 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, if you're active. If you're not as active, you go less. If you're super active, if you're pickleballing, then you might need more.
You just have to eat a cow every day.
I know, all the protein. And so there's some options about animal-based proteins. I think this is pretty straightforward, but like chicken breast, turkey breast, ground chicken, ground turkey, sirloin, beef, pork tenderloin. That's one of my personal favorites, and it's cheap. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And then we have some other options in terms of seafood, shrimp, scallops, tilapia. I will give a plug I didn't expect to do this, but mm-hmm. Alo Farms, which is over on Highway 74, they have greens and non-pesticide
their stuff.
Stuff.
So
they've got great
mm-hmm.
stuff. So just file that away. And then eggs and egg whites as other sources of protein. ALO, it's on Highway 74, a little Google. But they've got herbs, greens, collard greens. If mm-hmm. you're trying to avoid pesticides, it's a great option, and it's fairly priced. Then your Greek yogurt, cottage cheese. That's not for me personally, the cottage cheese, but I'll let you do that. And then, of course, your milks as well.
And I see you guys taking pictures, which is awesome.
You're going to get all this.
Cynthia or your leaders will be able to give you guys.
You're going to get the whole deck because it's going to get
all of this information.
Slides are going to roll faster.
Yeah.
You're going to get the whole thing.
Perfect.
There's lots of links at the back as well. All right. So are you guys ready to do math?
Yes.
All at once. So I talked about lean protein. And so for me, coaching clients and coaching nutrition clients and being in the fitness industry, people look at you like, okay, lean is great when I can look at a packet of ground turkey and see 93.7. And for mm-hmm. us, anything 90% or leaner is like free to fly. So that's great. When you're looking at a packet of meat, you're like, yeah, I get it. That's 93% lean and 7% fat. So that's what I tell my clients. But what happens when you're looking at this packet of Applegate turkey bacon and you're thinking, I need protein. This would be great to go with my eggs in the morning. How do I know if it's lean? So let's do math together. We're going to do three of these. This is a group activity. I'll walk you through it. And then, like I said, you'll get these slides. So total fat in this serving of turkey bacon is what? Just yell it out. All right, type in your calculator 1.5. We're going to divide it by how much the serving weighs. Can y'all see that? Probably not. It weighs 28 grams. Divide by 28. Someone tell me what you got. 0.053. Okay, are we all on the same page? Okay, good. We're going to multiply that times 100. Okay, now what do we have? 5.35. Okay, remember that. Okay, memory. Now we're going to take 100 minus 5.35, and what do we get? 94.65. This means that this is 95% lean. So does it fit the standard for 90% or leaner? Yes. All right, we're gonna do two more, okay? All right, this is a protein bar, which is one of those things that's marketed as protein mm-hmm. that's like, yes, if you're gonna bind, but mm-hmm. let's see if it's lean. So how many, let's remember the formula. How many grams of fat in the serving is how many? And it weighs how much? 50. Oh, y'all are so smart. All right, so now what we have 7 divided by 50 is what? 0.14. Now we're going to multiply it by who remembers?
100.
Y'all are so smart. Okay, what do we get? And then now we're going to say 100 minus 14 is what? Is it lean? Can you do it in a pickle? Sure.
Absolutely.
If you eat 3 a day, probably not a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
All right, we're
going
to do one more. Canadian bacon. We're going to say 1.5 divided by what? Can you see it? Probably not. 51. All right. 0.02 times what?
100.
And we're going to say 97. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's the math. That's how you know if it's lean or not. We'll keep that formula out there for you because you'll forget when you go home. But that's easy to do in the grocery store when you're trying to make decisions on things that are not as obvious as ground beef or ground turkey. So carbohydrates, another macronutrient for us, which is a source of energy. We have them broken down to simple carbohydrates and complex. How I remember those, simple things are easy to find, like chips and sugar. Mm. Complex, more complex to find, like roasted sweet potatoes and things like that. They provide energy, fiber, digestive health. They give us energy. And we need those in our diet for brain function. Another macronutrient that we will talk through as well. I kind of went through that quickly. In the essence of time. Healthy fats, also vital micronutrient. Think like avocados, olive oil, seeds, things that she mentioned on the podcast. We need those to absorb vitamins. There are fat-soluble vitamins that only absorb if there's fat present, which is A, D, E, and K. We need those. It's also important for skin health, reduces inflammation, things like omega-3 fatty acids. There's different types of fats. I'll point out the bottom one first. The trans fats are the ones that you want to avoid. The other ones you actually do need, so monounsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats. The saturated fats we use in moderation. For saturated, think anything that's solid at room temperature. Mm. Butter, that's mm-hmm. a saturated fat. Yes, can you have some? Moderation is key there, but the polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats are key for your vital cellular mm-hmm. functions.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Okay, this is me.
Yes.
Welcome
back to the show.
Yes. So balance plate, again, should include your lean protein, complex carbohydrates, a healthy fat, and then pretty much fresh fruits and vegetables at what you not even have to really regulate those. Maybe the fruits more, but vegetables you can eat as much as you can.
And honestly, you can find frozen organic fruits and vegetables for more affordable than fresh if you are trying to save money. So that's how you build a balanced plate. Yep. I usually start with the protein first and the vegetables, and then I kind of accessorize as I go.
And I think going back to those Time magazine pictures, I think one of the main differences I see is in the American children versus the European children is that there's single ingredient foods predominantly on the European mm-hmm. children's diet. Whereas when you talk about grabbing an In-N-Out burger or a processed food, you've got a bunch of ingredients that you may not recognize.
Can't pronounce.
Or multiple ingredients. So if you can pick more often than not single Absolutely. Ingredient foods, it's amazing. Always getting the highest quality food you can buy, whether, you know, organic, locally grown, and if, you know, imported cheeses, if not, then grass-fed and finished. And at the very least, you know, cheese and milk and dairy that's here in America is so much better than just buying
mass-produced.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then obviously limiting your packaged and processed foods, especially when you can't pronounce or read the ingredient. I would definitely not be eating that.
Yes, agreed.
Of course, portion sizes are important. I think you want to share that
sure.
trick about the hand.
So the palm of your hand, generally speaking, when you're looking at a 90% or lean protein, think turkey breast, turkey burger, mm-hmm. chicken, even
right.
ground turkey. Your palm is roughly 20 to 25 grams, depending on how big your hands are, right? So like you can think, I'm going to build a plate for me personally. I would build a plate that had about a palm-sized breast of chicken and then like mm-hmm. whatever vegetables I like. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if for carbohydrate, I mean, I usually do about a half cup of a complex carbohydrate mm-hmm. if I'm trying to, you know, potatoes and be mindful of portion size, not mm-hmm. not just loading it up with a bunch of potatoes, which is delicious, but... And then, of course, having a variety of whole foods in your diet, diversity of protein sources, carbohydrate sources. There's so many amazing carbohydrates. I don't know if we start going through them, but like other than potato, sweet potato,
fruits.
I love fruits.
Yep.
All of your vegetables. I love butternut squash is an amazing one.
Yes.
Quinoa.
This?
Yes. Those are more
carbohydrates.
Fiber. Yes.
I mean, some whole grain breads, like
yes.
sprouted breads are good.
Yes.
Yes.
And then always, you know, you want to try to aim for all of your meals and snacks to kind of be balanced if you can, to always have some source of protein, some source of carbohydrate for energy, and a little bit of healthy fat every time you eat.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, drinking plenty of water to help you absorb your nutrition and staying hydrated. It's going to make you feel better as well. So.
Absolutely.
And then... Oh, yeah. An example of a balanced meal.
Oh, look at your butternut
yes.
squash up there.
Yeah, I know. I had to put that in there. It's just not baked chicken and broccoli.
Can you not make me sugar snap peas, though? But
do you not like those?
No, I
love those.
But I'll come for the other
stuff. I mean, just an example. Any green thing can go in there.
I'll come for the other fun things.
So that's got everything. A taco salad. This is Peyton's,
that's
one of
me.
Her go-tos.
Yeah, that's my go-to. A little taco salad action.
Yeah.
Yep.
You see all of the food groups are
represented
up mm-hmm. there. Everything's single ingredient, too,
yep.
you know?
Absolutely.
Pork tenderloin.
Super
now
great.
Apple chutney is getting kind of fancy, but you could just—I don't even know what that means. But I have to find a recipe.
I'll
I can make it,
over.
but it's going to be good. Asparagus, green beans, anything there. Roasted red potatoes. Potatoes are not bad for you. You need carbohydrates. All right. So then Peyton kind of touched on this earlier. I'll let you run with this.
Yeah. So calorie dense versus nutrient dense, and I think we all intuitively know this, right? Like. The burger and milkshake and fries is almost 2,000 calories, which for me would be everything I could eat mm-hmm. the whole day. It'd be so sad for me. But if I ate the right side, I've got like some kombucha, I've got eggs, I've got some sort of soup at the bottom, some fruits, some veggies, that's 1,800 calories. So it's like your food budget will go further when mm-hmm. you're choosing more nutrient dense, less processed items,
Absolutely.
And you will feel better. So high in nutrition, pretty low in calories, high in calories, nutrition lacking.
Yep.
I'll run through these kind of quickly. I sourced these questions from my Facebook friends. I was like, I'm talking to moms. What do they want to know? And it's like, hey, what do we get at the gas station when we're on the road? Some ready-to-drink protein shakes. Remember, now you know the lean formula, so you know what to pick because some of them are sneaky. Beef jerky, hummus and pretzels, Greek yogurt, string cheese, those tuna and chicken salad packets, edamame. That's good gas station. Sports moms, where are we at? Pre-made wraps and sandwiches as you're meal prepping, make extra. You can do hard-boiled eggs. My kids eat hard-boiled eggs. I don't like hard-boiled eggs, but I will feed them to them. Nut butter, apples. We've got some recipes linked for you guys here, so don't feel like you have to remember everything. But some little, you know, mm-hmm. no-bake protein bites. My kids like those as well. We're still sports momming it.
We are.
Cottage cheese is back. I want to like it, but I just can't. We have Fairlife shakes. Those are available at Costco. I like to make chicken salad ahead of time. My kids eat it. I eat it. I make it with Greek yogurt and a blend of mayonnaise. They like it. There's all these dips, pizza cups, the things that I've made that my kids like that are kid tested and approved.
So then we have a few of our favorite Instagram accounts. Again, you'll get to see these. Clean Food Crush. Let me just talk about them for 1 minute. Every single thing she makes is so amazing, and it's simple. It's the most simple ingredients, and the way that the flavor, the natural flavors of these foods go together, it's just awesome. So I would encourage you to check that one out, if nothing else, up there. Yeah. But they're all great, all super healthy recipes, and they actually are people that share the recipes on the account rather than making you go to the link
comment
and direct message.
And I'll join my club.
And you never get the recipe.
Never.
Okay. So last thing here, my daughter sent me this the other day, and it says, when you're already having a bad day and you see your mom decided to experiment with dinner. So as much as we've got a bunch of recipes that we're going to share with you guys and new things to try, really, my kids and I think our bodies really just crave simplicity. They crave what God provided us, what he gave us to enjoy and eat in its natural state. And so the simpler you make it, the more successful you'll be. And I think that's really what our kids and our husbands and us need. So
yes, cooked with love at home.
Absolutely.
There's some recipe ideas coming up here on these next couple of slides, but I will tell you like one or two of my like busy working mom tricks when it comes to meal planning. And I've done a whole meal planning talk. I'm like a meal prep ninja, but I do, and you do too.
Yeah.
But you can use ChatGPT to work in your favor. And so just leverage that if you have that on your phone. Like a couple weeks ago, we were having a stewardship week, which my kids usually hate because it means we have to eat what we have because we can't go to the grocery store. And so I just said, I have one pork tenderloin, a bag of rice cauliflower, corn, chickpeas, and an onion. Okay? It was like an episode of Chopped. Okay. And I said to ChatGPT, I want you to make something out of this. I need you to make it healthy, and please put it in the Instapot. It's cold. Bam, recipe done.
Amazing.
It was awesome. I saved the recipe. I'm like, we're making that again. That's good. You can even say, hey, I want 6 dinner recipes that are roughly 20 to 30 grams of protein per serving. I have no allergies, but I don't like cottage cheese. can you give me ideas? And it will literally just spit everything out. So like you have got, we have technology at our disposal now, so you should leverage it. Kroger delivery is like you can pay for the year, but like one time it's like $6.99. They'll come as early as like 6 a.m. in the morning. It's awesome. You can use coupons when you pick them up. So there are ways to get around this to help you save money, because I know like feeding all those little critters and yourself is expensive. So those are some things that I use with like ChatGPT and the Kroger like delivery, and I'd buy in bulk a lot from Costco and then break those protein items down to help save money and not run to the grocery store every 2 days. Yeah, we've got these awesome recipe ideas for you that you will leave with, but I think the thing that we want you to hear is, do we have, I think we have a conclusion. Yes, we do. You're the chef. You're in charge of what's most likely coming in and out of your house. And we've been called by God to do it. You're equipped, whether you feel like you can't cook or do this or not. You don't have to do all of this week. Pick one thing. Like, I'm going to make breakfast, like, really great for my kids because I'm sending them off to learn. Right? Like, let's equip them. I'm going to make dinners great because my husband loves to eat dinner. And just layer, it's like, it's called habit stacking. So like, don't feel like you have to do all of this all at once, but we just wanted you to feel like you had the resources, the scripture, the knowledge to go make a difference in your house and really love on your family and love them through food. Do you have anything else to say?
I really don't. I'm not gonna top that, so.
All right, thanks for having us, you guys.
Thanks,
You'll
guys.
Get the whole deck.